Yeah, and it says that when Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai, it brought redemption to the world. That's what it says. And we have no idea what that's supposed to mean because I don't hear it. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Right? No, come on. Yeah?
I want to hear it.
I'm telling you, this is the best part of Torah for me. And let me try to explain. The best part of Torah is when I see something that to me, on the surface, at first glance, makes no sense.
That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it bothers me. I know other people. You know what other people do? They're like, I don't understand. And they move on. Yeah? So you don't get to learn Torah that way. You know? Just move on. But if you really love Torah and you know that Torah is MS, so then you have a problem. And it bothers you. And you want to understand, how could this be? How does this make any sense? And you don't stop until you make sense out of it. Yeah?
Yep.
So are you with me? You have a question? Does it bother you like a little?
A tiny bit.
Is it Bryce that says something that I think doesn't make any sense?
It's like saying Esther is kind of doing an asura or something like that. Like, I don't know. Could be probably saying that she lied to Mordechai that she would do what Mordechai said. Technically, did she?
All I want to know is how did this bring Geula to the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any thoughts before we go on?
Yeah, what's this one? Say this one.
No thoughts at all?
No, there's nothing to do on this.
I'm
asking about this right now because we don't have time for all your thoughts. They're too complicated. Yeah?
We saved the world. We saved the world.
I like my new suit.
Because the lie saved the world, because Mordechai would be written down in the book.
Okay.
And because of that, Chavirish would have to reward Mordechai some way. And that came whenever Haman was trying to basically kill, was fed up with Mordechai finally, wanted to kill everyone. And because of that, it started the whole downward trend of Haman, you know, eventually him dying.
I'm going to say it over, but you just said the whole share, right? Yeah. You just nailed it. You mamish nailed it, no? You mamish nailed it. That was good, Alvin. Now, this, I actually heard this. I didn't hear this question. When I was in Rishit Yerushalayim, 100 years ago, 1995, they had a cassette tape. You heard of it?
Yes.
And there was a cassette tape of a shir from Rav Soloveitchik about Purim. So I figured I'm going to listen to it. And I thought it was so fascinating. I wrote it down, came out word for word in my notes. I probably have it in my house somewhere. I thought it was so fascinating. And he was talking about how paranoid Ahasuerus was. Yeah? And he was talking about the triggers. What triggered Ahasuerus to turn against Haman? And how paranoid he was. And it goes back to a lot of things that we spoke about yesterday when we went through the story. But I'll just kind of keep it short and simple for now. But I believe that if you take that shot of the Rav, then it really, it's this Brysa. Are you ready for me? I'll say it short and sweet. Short and sweet.
Thank you. Wow. I really appreciate it. Holy cow.
Uh-huh. Wow. Those look like a little raw.
Real ones remember.
Aw. The real ones. Are
and I got this for anyone who wants. So.
I would think so.
I'm in.
Does it taste like mozzarella?
Also got a couple of years.
Wow.
I really want
to drink any extra breakfast syrup or whatever.
The JSS
breakfast.
It's like for whatever you have to get.
Like,
oh man,
I never did any of this when I was in JSS.
Exactly.
All right, so short and sweet. Ready? Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Short and sweet. So wait. Yeah, can I have a chance? Yeah. Have a chance without your phones? Give me a chance. Very short and sweet. Yeah. Avi, are you ready? Short and sweet. This is how Esther brought Geula to the world. I would like to argue to you, she did not intend to bring Geula to the world. She just told something over in the name of the one who said it. Yeah? But the result was, she brought Geula to the world. How so? Because the fact that she told it over in the name of Mordechai, as Ariel said, ended up Mordechai's name was written in the book, and not hers. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's critical. So now his name gets written into this book of Chronicles
did
of the
she
King.
Know what
I don't know. And Mordechai's name is written in the book. He doesn't get rewarded. Nothing happens. Life goes on. Yeah. And then what happens is Haman comes out of that first party on this cloud nine. Mordechai doesn't bow down to him. He freaks so upset. The contrast is too much. And then he goes home and he speaks to all the people that love him and his wife Zeresh. And he says, "What is Mordechai? I wouldn't bow to him." And so she's like, "Okay, so just kill him. You know, you build a gallows. It's high." And, you know. And so he goes back to the palace in the middle of the night, just itching for the moment he can go to the king to request to kill Mordechai. Yeah. So he is in the courtyard. Kill Mordechai. Kill Mordechai. I did this yesterday.
Why does he need to request to kill?
Because he's still second in command, and if he kills somebody, that, you know, in the kingdom or whatever, he could end up in trouble. If they have to ask him permission.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever. I don't. It's hard to know the details. Did Mordechai have something to do with the government? Didn't have something to do with government. He was for sure well known among the Jews. You know, everyone knew he wasn't bowing down to Haman. Like, it's hard to know exactly, but okay, we'll take it for granted that he needed to ask permission from the king. So that's what he's doing. Meanwhile, the king can't sleep. Why can't the king sleep? So again, the Rav's whole shot was because Esther. This is a sidebar, just for a minute. Esther had to come up with a way to get rid of Haman and his decree, right? Mm-hmm. So you could look at it like she said, okay, everyone dive in and we'll hope for the best. And like, this is like a big nace. Or you could argue that she actually had a plan. If you argue that she had a plan, what exactly was her plan? Chaim, hear my question? What exactly was Esther's plan to get rid of Haman and the decree? Did she have a plan, yes or no?
Right. Yeah.
She got a plan to get rid of Haman. I don't know about the decree. I mean, the decree should probably just be like crying to. Sounds like she had a plan.
Rabbi, before the 1900s, it's probably so easy to just kill somebody.
He's going to say something. There's
no
case. So, Chaim.
You could easily just pick somebody up, like drop them in a river, and then they'll be like,
yeah. Cement shoes. So Chaim, here's the thought process, so yeah? Easy. If Achashverosh really is this, like, what's the right word? He's like nervous about everybody else. He's like paranoid. If he's really so paranoid, and Esther makes a party where she invites just him and Haman, yeah? So then that's going to create a sense in Achashverosh that, like, there's something weird going on over here. Now, he may think that Esther and Haman may have something together, and he may kill them both. Yeah? And Esther would say, okay, then that's worth it. Mm-hmm. He'll kill me, but he'll kill Haman too. That's a very distinct possibility, which he was thinking.
Yeah.
good call.
Yeah. You hear that?
Taking
or no?
both down yeah. each other. Yeah.
So,
she was crazy. Though.
Yeah.
Kasher avadati avadati, right? That's another way to read that pasuk. And if I get killed, I get killed. You know, whatever it is, it is. It wasn't just talking about going to Achashverosh unannounced. Maybe it's talking about her whole plan.
Esther's really the goat. She's like a goat in her time.
She's the goat.
She pulled it off.
Or a goat. You know?
Anyway, so... So it's crazy the way it went down. Because Achashverosh can't sleep that night. So the Rav said, you know why he couldn't sleep? Because this party had just happened. And now what's going on in his mind is Haman trying to take over? Does he have something with Esther? Why did she invite just him? Why wasn't it just me and him?
Oh, and she knew he couldn't sleep and he would read the...
No, that she didn't know. But she wanted to create this paranoid feeling by him that, like, maybe we should get rid of this guy Haman. Maybe this is really a bad plan. Or maybe kill both of them. Whatever, yeah? So he can't sleep. So for whatever reason, this may have been an ace. For whatever reason, he has to have his Book of Chronicles read. Now, I argued yesterday that the reason he wanted specifically the Chronicles read was because he was feeling down on himself.
What's the Chronicles?
All of his accomplishments.
Oh.
Right? All of his accomplishments. See, he's feeling bad about himself because Haman's at this party. Maybe Esther doesn't like him. I don't know. Maybe he, you know. Wow, sheesh.
Rapid fire.
Yeah? So he wants the Chronicles specifically because he wants to feel better about himself. That's a possibility. But be that as it may, what ends up being read, and this is for sure an ace, which is for sure an ace, is that the part that gets read is the Mordechai thing. Now, why does it say Mordechai in the book?
Because Esther mentioned
him. You with me?
He had a nightmare.
Because Esther did not take credit for this. She said it in the name of
Mordechai.
So that's why it said in the book, Mordechai saved your life.
And that's why
otherwise, it would never have said that. It would have said, Esther saved your life, and life would have gone on. But it said, Mordechai. So the king says, what did we do to reward him? And they say, nothing. And he says, well, I need some advice. Any advisors up in the middle of the night? And they look into the chatzer, and coincidentally, Haman's walking around in the chatzer. Why is he walking around in the chatzer? Because he wants to kill Mordechai. It's crazy, right? So he comes in, you know, kill Mordechai. And the king says, what should I do to a person that I want to reward? Now remember, Achashverosh is a little bit paranoid about Haman right now, right? He's paranoid about Haman. But he is one of his advisors. So he asks his advisor, who he's a little bit paranoid about, why is he paranoid? Maybe he's trying to take over. And he asks Haman, what should I do to a person that I want to reward? Now, why didn't he just say, I want to reward this guy? Mordecai, what should we do?
Because he wanted him to think it's about him.
He's testing him, right? Because he's a little bit paranoid right now. So he asks him, what do you think we should do a person that the king wants to reward? And Haman responds, what does he say, remember?
It's like wearing the king's
clothes.
King's clothes, king's horse, king's crown. My crown, okay, not the crown. And then, you know, and ride him and parade him through the streets, saying this is what you do to a person the king wants to reward.
Isn't that day they thought it was himself?
He fell into a crazy trap. And he thinks he's talking to himself. That king's testing him.
I would say this is my headcanon, but I would have to say I think Achashverosh knew that Haman hated Mordecai. So I think Achashverosh would do like if he failed the test, he would have basically like kind of like embarrassed Haman. I think he knew what he was doing if Haman.
That's a possibility too, and he wanted to, you know, put him down.
I have no basis. There's no basis anything.
Could be. But at the very least, this was the moment that proved to the king. Not full proof, but it indicated to really. You hear what I'm saying, right? It really, the paranoia of Achashverosh, yeah? DC, yeah? The paranoia of Achashverosh.
Like, win like $500 or something like
that. Yeah?
Yeah. I'm thinking something okay.
Yeah? So, okay, so that's the moment. And again, why did all of that happen?
Because
whose name?
Because Esther put Mordecai's name.
And then the next day, there's the party. And then Esther's, again, Achashverosh says to Esther, okay, what's going on over here? And she says, there's somebody trying to assassinate me and commit genocide against my people. And he's like, who in the world are you talking about? And she says, Haman. He's like, okay, now everything makes sense.
Yeah.
So she brought Geula. Now, what's the Geula?
Wait, what was that last part?
Because when Achashverosh says, okay, Esther, like, what's going on over here? Why do you have all these parties? What do you want from me? So she says, because someone's trying to assassinate me and commit genocide against my entire people. Achashverosh has no idea who her people are. Mm-hmm. And he says, what are you talking about? Haman. So Achashverosh says, everything's falling into place. It all makes sense. He's going to destroy his government if he doesn't. So he goes out to the garden. He has to get some fresh air. I forget what to do about this. And he comes back in, and Haman is begging for his life from Esther. And Achashverosh is so paranoid at this point, he interprets that as he's like on top of her, like raping her or something. It's like insane. But that's his paranoia. So he says, really? With me in the house? This is what you're doing? That's what he says to him.
No.
And he's killed.
Haman tried to. Because so I had the craziest like beard. He was like, he wanted to make it look like Esther was having an affair, so he fell on top of her.
That's an interpretation, but this is a very different interpretation.
We have so many movies and stories about like Moshe, but like Purim is really where it's at.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So just full circle. So now, what am I saying? So I'm now back to the Mishnah. Back to the Mishnah, Bryce. Yes. Back to the Brysa. Come on. Back to the Brysa. So now, the Brysa says that one of the 48 ways to acquire Torah is saying the whatever you heard, the name of the person that said it. Right? The Maharal has this idea about it, taking it back to the source.
Yeah.
And then it says, and I'll prove it to you. You read that pasuk the first time, and it makes no sense. But with everything we just said, right? This Bryce is actually hinting to us about the moment that actually was the key moment in the Megillah Esther that we would not necessarily have paid attention to. But that's exactly, because who would, you know, he said, oh, it's coincidence, blah, blah, blah.
It's like a Chekhov's gun.
Because Esther did that and said the name of the person that said it, so it ended up the whole linchpin of the whole Megillah Esther, and that's the paranoia of Achashverosh that was really ultimately the downfall of Haman. That was the key to the whole thing.
Rob, why do we treat when we talk about like Pesach, we treat the deaths of all the Egyptians, the plagues, and the negative ways. That's like we happy that happened, but like we're sad. We still, you know, they still suffered, right? Like,
oh, it's the reason. Yeah. That's the exact reason why we
did that. Angel. It's not so simple.
Like, we don't like celebrate death in that sense. I think that's like a joke.
We sang as Yashir.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we dip our finger in the coast specifically. I was thinking about the Egyptians.
When we
sing, we sing about them all being knocked into the sea.
Died. Like, I feel like we say one breath is all dead at once. I'm just like, it doesn't vibe well with me. If we accept the idea. That we don't celebrate death. I don't know.
That's a celebration? Because you say it in one breath.
Isn't it a weird thing to do?
Yeah, it is a weird
thing. We'll celebrate the death of our enemies.
The reason why is because they all died at the same time. Is that in a way to like honor them, maybe? Could that be
seen?
Shout out
the gang. Why are we honor the people?
I think I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. Like, why is that significant?
Like, why, I think it's so...
Yeah. If you saw in the news, that
it's like Hitler got killed,
would you be celebrating, or you would be like effing, like?
I think with Hitler's a little different because it's like one person.
But I think, well, the Egyptians were the same exact thing.
Yeah, it's like Hamas. It's like if Hamas people get killed, like, we start celebrating. It's the same thing.
But I'm like, oh, yeah, shit's like, yeah, there's a project.
Okay, can everyone please text your friends in the chair and tell them they have to be here by 11:15 because Rabbi Berman is coming to speak to us? The other Rabbi Berman?
The other Rabbi.
Really?
So, the other Rabbi Berman?
Well, why are we special? Why is he coming?